Can we just give God some praise in His house this morning? Come on, let's give Him praise. That's a praise that's worthy of His great name. Hallelujah. We bless the name of Jesus. Now turn around and bless somebody with a kind word. Tell them they look nice, or you're glad to see them, or nice to meet you. Thank you for being in God's house. My wife and I had the great privilege to go to Venezuela for about 30 days. And in that, we learned a little bit of Spanish. So, bienvenidos el nombre de Jesús. Amen. We're happy to have you guys this morning. Gloria a Dios. I love the Hispanic people. I love their music. I love their culture. They're hard workers. And we appreciate having Fernando's family and friends here with us this morning. Thank you for being here in the house of the Lord. If you brought your Bibles, would you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 23? To all of our guests, no matter where you're from, no matter your race, your creed, your color, no matter, doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter to God, because God loves diversity. He didn't make just tulips, He made some roses. He didn't stop at roses, He made some bird of paradise. He didn't stop there, He made some carnations. He made us all. And it's a shame that we judge people based off of the color of their skin or the amount of money in their wallet. Come on, somebody. I'm already preaching this morning. Come on, I'm already preaching this morning. I feel like the Lord has given me something, and I want to share it with you. To all of you that have joined us online, we welcome you. Thank you for joining us online. Get in here and worship with us. If you have your Bibles, go to the book of Matthew, chapter 23, and we're going to look at verse 25. And if you're there, say amen. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. The ESV, the English Standard Version, says it's full of greed and self-indulgence. Here's what's in my spirit this morning. I want to talk about the outside of the cup stuff. Outside of the cup stuff. Father, for the next few minutes, would you just help us now, Lord, to come here. We're here in body, but help us to come in mind and spirit so that we're not off doing something else in our mind. Help us to receive the seed of your word so that it will bear forth, Lord, fruit in due season. Thank you for your people, your blood, your name, your word, and this house. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. Look at your neighbor and say, God don't like cranky Christians. No, he don't. He don't like cranky Christians, so don't get cranky at me for what I'm about to preach this morning. Come on, if I stay in the book, then stay with me. If I get out of the book, then you can leave, right? But as long as I'm in the book, stay with me. It may not be your particular flavor or your particular stripe, but if I am in the book, then stay with me. Jesus looked at a group of people and he said, listen, he said, I'm going to tell you something about you guys. You cleanse the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup is full of greed and it's full of self-indulgence. So I'm here to tell you that I think most of you realize that America is rapidly becoming post-Christian. Do you agree with that? There's a research company called Barna, B-A-R-N-A, and they say that 1 in 5 people who used to go to church have now checked out of church in the first year of the pandemic. They're no longer coming to church. America has gone through all kinds of changes that have gotten us to where we are today. We have gone through the 60s and the sexual revolution. We now distrust institutions as a whole. We've gone through the tech revolution. We've gone through all kinds of revolutions that have created this distrust of authority. Now people have bought into the psychology of self-actualization instead of theology. We have become pop psychologists. And if you walk into your nearest bookstore, you will find that the best sellers are self-help books. People are into themselves as a priority. People are asking, who am I? What is my place? How do I fit in the world? And self-actualization has become the main priority. In other words, most Americans, it's all about them. It's about who they are and their personality, and it's about how they find themselves in the world. As Christians, brothers and sisters, we must speak to people about their identity. And we as Christians must find our identity in Jesus and not in beauty and not in power and not in our jobs. Can I get a witness? If we want to know about our car, we don't ask our car questions. We go to the owner's manual. People who created the car, who know about the car, who know how the car works, and we read the owner's manual. We're trying to seek ourselves for answers, and we didn't create ourselves. We were made by God, and we were made for God. And if you don't get that, then life is never going to make sense. Christian values is what built this nation. And we are quickly becoming a post-Christian nation because we are walking away from those values. And I think, brothers and sisters, that the church is going to have to figure some things out. I'm going to say that again. I think that the church is going to have to figure some things out. We are seeing a lot of Christians who are going, oh my goodness. Now what's about to happen? We have lost people during COVID. We are seeing rampant lawlessness on our media screens. We are watching what is known as cancel culture. And we may eventually even lose the Supreme Court as we know it. The White House and Congress look very different now. And Christians are saying, what are we going to do? And I think that it is a prime opportunity for Christianity to show itself to be authentic. For example, no one hated the religious and the culture mindsets more than Jesus did. He looked at the culture and the mindset and he says, listen, you guys, you care more about the outside of the cup than you do what is in it. Mm-hmm. Y'all bear with me. You care more about the label. Oh, I knew I'd get y'all now. Because you know what? Y'all like this label. Uh-huh. Boy, I tell you something. If LSU does good on Saturday night, boy, we can have good church on Sunday morning. Boy, I know like, boy, we won and everybody's going to be in a good mood. But guess what? If Texas beats you, then I know it's going to be a bad Sunday. You know why? Because we like labels. We like what we like. We like certain things in our life. And when it don't look like what we like, then guess what? We start backing away from it. Cause you're black and you don't look white like me, we start backing away from it. Cause you're brown and you don't look white like me, we start backing away from it. And I'm here to tell the church, this is a prime opportunity for us to start getting authentic and speaking to this culture. Red, yellow, black, white, Texas, LSU, Oklahoma, it doesn't matter to the Lord. I know what y'all like. But can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? It's not what's on the outside of this cup. Do you understand? You can like LSU and I can have rat poison on the inside of it. What's on the inside of this could very well kill you. Why, the outside is looking good. And I want to speak to Christianity this morning. It's not the outside of the stuff. You say, Pastor, is that not important? Sure, it's important how we present our temple. Our body is the Holy Spirit. It is the temple. We need people not to see so much the outside of the cup, but what is in the cup. Can we? Oh, I want to preach a few minutes. Can we be so transparent that we're not afraid of what people see on the outside as much as what they see on the inside? Could we as Christians, come on, somebody, could we be so authentic that they could see not our label, not what we're wearing, but the love that is in our heart for people and the lost and the sick and the broken? Come on, somebody. In the 70s and 80s, the church got obsessed and concerned about having power. Some of you might remember the silent majority, Jerry Falwell, and the church was concerned about who we put in office and who was in our courts and who was our senators. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. What I am saying is that the church has tried to change the culture from the outside in. And true change can only happen from the inside out. You say, I don't know about that. Well, listen, you know what? They have signs up that say 45 miles an hour on this street. But I've listened, pardon me, y'all, I'm fixing to blow your wig off. But I listened to Sammy Hagar, and Sammy said, I can't drive 55. You know what? I know what the law says, but it doesn't matter what the law says, because I want to go faster than 45. Listen, if it's not in your heart, it don't matter how hard I preach it. But when it gets in your heart, you do it because you love him. And Jesus is telling the culture, listen, I'm not here so that you can serve me. Jesus said, I'm here in this position of power so that I can serve and bless you. I've had people come up and tell me and Sister Janet, why don't y'all eat first? Why do y'all wait till everybody else has served? Because that was Jesus' style of ministry. Jesus didn't come and say, sit me on this throne and now you serve me. Jesus says, I am blessed and I am in this position so that I can serve you, so that I can minister to you. And I'm preaching to a group of people. I'm going to tell you something. This community doesn't care that we're meeting in a gym. They're not going to care if we meet in a $2 million, $4 million, or $6 million building, but they will care about the love and the kindness and the concern and the compassion that is in our heart. Come on, somebody. Now that the church is majorly in decline and we are rapidly becoming a post-Christian nation, work has actually overtaken a lot of people as the central part of their life. And guess what? They're collapsing under it. And that leads to a whole identity issue. Am I going to define myself by my money? Am I going to define myself by my work? And when we start defining ourselves, even as Christians, by our money and by our work and by our titles and by what we own and where we live and what we drive and what we wear, if we start defining ourselves by that, then what happens is God starts disappearing from the culture. Ernest Becker, he is a psychologist, and I want you to hear what he wrote, and it's so good, I want to quote it verbatim. He said this, when psychology wants to take the concept of sin away from us because they don't like the theology of it, it doesn't solve anything. Because human beings know there is something wrong with them. They know they are broken. They know there's a plight. And all that does is put the pressure back on them because they can't look to something else to save them. So they end up looking to themselves, and then they're crushed under the weight of the fact that they know they can't be their own savior. Brothers and sisters, that's from a psychologist. I'm here to tell you, you nor I can save ourselves. If we could save ourselves, then we would have already done it. That's why we need a savior. And work doesn't need to be your savior. And even your family doesn't need to be your savior. And your pocketbook doesn't need to be your savior. We got to get focused on the main thing so we can do what God wants us to do. There's only one way. There's only one truth. I'm talking about the outside of the cup stuff. We know from studies being done that there is more depression and anxiety, not only in the world, but also in the Christian walk. And if we take the concept of God away, you know what we replace it with? We replace it with paganism. Can I have a witness? And it's not just that the secular world thinks that there is no God. It's that they've just replaced God with sex, money, power, beauty, family, comfort, work, whatever. And the bottom line is all those things crush you because they can be taken away. Come on, somebody. Imagine you worship beauty and you get a scar across your face. Imagine you worship beauty and you're burned up with third degree burns. You have a car accident and you're never the same. Imagine you worship work and it gets taken from you and you're not successful anymore and people don't care anymore that you come to that particular office. Then where are you going to find your identity? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, this is not just a Sunday morning that I've been thinking about just a couple days ago. I've been thinking about me. What if I lost my voice, literally lost my voice? How useful would I be to all of you? I mean, this is what I work with. And if I lost this, then how useful am I to you? And if my identity is only in that I'm a pastor and a preacher, then I'm living a very shallow existence. And then I don't want to let go of anything because that's my identity. And I don't identify in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I identify as I'm a pastor and I pastor a great church and X, Y, and Z. And I'm telling you, all of that can be taken away. Y'all know it's the truth. If something were to happen to me tomorrow, God forbid, this church would go through a process of electing another pastor. I hope that that doesn't happen, but I have to make sure that my identity is not in pastoring this great church, that my identity is not being a preacher, but my identity is being a disciple of Jesus Christ, that everything can be taken from me, but one thing. And that is nothing, shout nothing. Nothing can separate us. Not your job, not your beauty, not your car, not even your family, not your wallet. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. If something were to happen to me tomorrow, and I pray to God it doesn't, I'm going to tell you something. My identity is not in pastoring this church. I'm trying to get away from that. My identity is in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Somebody take 5 seconds if you want to be his disciple and give him praise right now. Y'all know you may not like this word, but you know I'm telling you the truth. Chantel, can you have a house today and 3 trees go through it tomorrow? Yes, it can. Can you have something today that you call home and it be totally destroyed by a Category 5 hurricane? Yes, it can. And if your identity's wrapped up in your house, if it's even wrapped up in your kids, I'm telling you, all of that can be taken away. I wish I could get on a megaphone to all of America and say, America, come on, you got to get this. Everything can be taken from you that is your identity, but one thing. And that is Christ. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If your best friend walks away, listen, friends come and go. Jesus comes and stays. Come on, somebody. And we get to these moments in our lives where things are taken away. And then you're left with, who am I? And what is my contribution? I learned this firsthand. I can't go into this story. You've heard it before, but firsthand in the 2000s, I lost pretty much all of my identity. And I'm ashamed to tell you, but I want to be transparent. I'm ashamed of this, but really for 18 months, I stayed in just a low level depression. I'd like for you to think better of me than this, but the honest truth is I just immersed myself in entertainment and it wasn't necessarily sinful entertainment. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I was so hurt and so broken. Some people's choice is alcohol. Some is drugs, right? Some is, you know, whatever. But mine was just sitting in front of a TV trying to figure out, who am I? After I've lost all of this, after I'm used to X, Y, and Z, and now I don't have it, who am I? Brothers and sisters, I'm not up here preaching some cute little message that I haven't lived. I live through this whole identity of who is Wayne. Now that the stage is taken away, the church is taken away, the income is taken away, the house is taken away, the family support is taken away. Now who am I? And I'm sorry to tell you, I didn't know that. I know most preachers want you to think better of them, but I'm not concerned about you thinking better of me. I want you to think better of him. I want to lead you to him. Listen, I am not the pastor that's going to come down the fire pole and rescue you. There's only one person that can rescue you, and it's not me. He's the hero of this story. Come on, somebody. I said, he's the hero of this story. I love you and I want you to love me. Don't misconstrue that. But I'm here to tell you, I went through a very dark season in my life of having things taken away. Some of it was my own fault, some of it wasn't. But be that as it may, I had to figure out, who am I? Who am I when I'm 1,800 miles from home, have no family support, no family is around me, no church to pastor, no stage to walk on, no income? Who am I? And it took me, I'm sorry to tell you, a lot longer than it should have for me being a pastor to figure it out. I had, y'all stay with me, I had a beautiful mother. She was a wonderful, godly lady. I didn't realize that even at the age of 34, my mother was my God. Because I didn't have to call on God because I had mama. And y'all may not understand that, but I'm going to just tell you something. God is not cruel, but he is calculated. And he wants you to understand that you realize that he's all you need when he's all you got. You think you need this and you think you need that. I'm here to tell you that what you really need is God in your life, and you need to make him the center. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Yes, I'm being honest with you this morning. I had mama and I had American Express card. I didn't need God. But when mama's gone and the American Express card is gone, now who are you? And everybody's going to come to that crossroad. You're going to have to figure out, who am I if everything gets taken away? And we're so concerned, brothers and sisters, can I preach? We're so concerned about labels in the church. Oh, you're LSU, I like you. Oh, you're Texas, I don't like you. Oh, you're a nerd. You're a nerd. You like Roswell, New Mexico, where the aliens land. Guess whose cup this is? It's Trey's. I'm calling you out, Trey, you little nerd. Oh, we don't like nerdy people. Guess what? God loves nerdy people. He loves black people. He loves Hispanic people. He loves all races of all stripes and all colors. He's not into labels. He's into hearts. He's into changing hearts. Can I get a witness in this house? Come on, somebody. God is not nearly as interested in your stuff as he is in you. Can I preach? He's interested in you knowing him. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:23. I didn't give him this scripture, so pardon me, but it says this. You have been bought and paid for by Christ. That's one translation. The King James says, you have been bought with a price. Do you understand that you belong to him? Look at three people and tell them, you belong to God. Come on, it's more fun if we all do it together. Tell them, you belong to God. You belong to more than the Nealon family or the Smith family. You belong to more than the Fontenot family. You belong to him, brothers and sisters. He bought you and paid for you and purchased you with the supreme price, which is his own blood. So in this world of value, who owns something really matters. Who owns it really matters. In other words, that painting that was painted, who owned it? Who owned that piece of art? Whose house was that? Do you understand, if Brad Pitt lived in a house, it fetches a bigger price, not because of the value of the house, but who lived in it? Do you understand that if Michael Jordan played in a pair of sneakers and then took them off and signed it, do you understand that those sneakers now become extremely valuable? And it's crazy what people will pay for a pair of sneakers signed by a basketball star, but it's all who owned it. See, you got to understand who owns you.
See, some of you don't think you're worth much because down in your tree, there came some people that wasn't all that good and all that holy. And they told you, you wasn't much. And they took some things from you and molested you. And they did some evil things to you. And therefore, you don't think you're worth that much. But you got to remind yourself who owns you. I'm going to tell you, you know why you're valuable. It's not from your family tree. It's because God brought you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And he saw something in you that was valuable. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible says that Jesus has purchased us and our lives belong to him. So our worth, our value comes from belonging to God. That needs to be our identity. Not what we have, not what we own or what we drive or what we wear or the labels or even how beautiful our church is. That's all outside of the stuff. I've been reading in the Word. Been reading about Solomon. And Solomon built one of the most expensive and gorgeous and elaborate buildings, temples that has ever been built. But this is just a side note. God said, Solomon, as long as you place what I placed inside of you first, then this temple will stand. But I don't care how gorgeous this temple is. If you leave what I put on the inside of you, this outside stuff don't even matter to me. It don't even matter that it's my temple. It don't even matter that it's all overlaid with gold. Some scholars have estimated that Solomon's temple would cost today $9 billion. $9 billion. But God said, that doesn't faze me. It doesn't matter how beautiful the building is. What matters is what's inside of it. Do not misconstrue what I'm saying again. I'm not saying that what we do on our outside doesn't matter. We are the temple and the body of the Holy Spirit. We should all be modest. But I'm telling you that just as important as that is, what is inside of your cup is even more so. Here's the next thing, and I just need a few more minutes of your time. Most people do not even have a vision for their life. You know why? Because we're so caught up in what's outside that we're not paying too much attention to what's inside. Most young people really don't have a vision for their life. You know what the scripture says in Proverbs? Without a vision, people perish. People in America are perishing by the thousands because they have no vision. I don't want you to misconstrue what I'm about to say, but there are protests all over our nation. And I'm not saying that it's all bad. But what I am saying is a lot of people have joined some bandwagons because they have nothing else better to do. They have no vision for their own life. So a little protest has at least given them a purpose. And I'm here to tell you that God is way more interested in us than little protest around our country. God wants to give you a vision for your life that is bigger than a protest. It's even bigger than a race issue. It's bigger than a money issue. It's a God issue. Most people do not know who they are outside of their cup. They don't know who they are outside of their beauty, their work, and their money. Can I preach? Surely, brothers and sisters, money wasn't the problem in this Bill Gates marriage. Surely fame and fortune wasn't the problem that brought about this separation. Surely it wasn't that they didn't have the entire world at their fingertips. Surely it wasn't about that. Most people think, man, if I can just be wealthy or famous or brilliant or just fill in the blank, I'm going to tell you, that's all outside of the cup stuff, and it will never satisfy you. Get you a $300,000 car and you can wreck it tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you something. Get inside of Jesus and let Jesus get inside of you, and he won't wreck your life. He'll direct your life. I'm going to wrap this up because I got to stop. If you do not have something, listen, if you've been asleep, wake up right now. If you don't have something to die for, you don't have something to live for. I'm going to say that again. Figure out what you're willing to die for, and then you'll have something to live for. You know why people are floundering around from this to that like a little pinball machine? Because they don't have any vision. They have no mission. They have no purpose. They don't know of anything that they're willing to die for. Therefore, they have nothing to live for. And so they go for the labels, and they go for the pretty and the bling, and they go for what looks nice. And all the time, America is suffering depression and anxiety in untold numbers because we don't have a vision for our life. Can I tell you about a guy who came and died for you so that you could really live? Could I tell you about a mission that you can give your life to? It's called Jesus. He was buried and he came out of the grave on the third day. And listen, if he can rise from the dead, then he can resurrect your dead marriage. And he can resurrect your dead-end job. And he can resurrect the deadness in your home. I'm telling you about a mission you can get behind. And his name is Jesus. Would you stand to your feet and give him praise right now? People who have no vision, they take all of their energy and all of their time, and they corrupt themselves rather than being peacemakers. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth." You know what the answer is to all of the world's problems? You say, Pastor, you know it? I do. Not because I'm all that bright, but I do know the answer to the world's problems. Are you ready? Let me say it like this. I don't know all the answers to the world's problems, but I know the answer. It's called the gospel. And the gospel, when it's really in your heart, it'll cause you to love another stripe that's different than your own. When some of you truly get God in your heart, you're going to start loving me. That's just a joke, y'all. It's okay to laugh. No, I like LSU. I can truthfully say our money and son went there. So I'm bought in. Yeah. Right? I do. But I'm not nearly as interested in this as what's in this. And a lot of people today are feeling hopeless. And even Christians are going, oh my goodness, where's this thing going? Can I tell you, I'm a positive person. I want you to come here and leave encouraged. But can I tell you this? According to 1 Thessalonians, here's what the Bible says. Things are going to wax worse and worse. I'm a positive guy, but I still got to stay in the book. I'm afraid to tell some of y'all, it's not going to get back to normal. And this normal that you are seeking is a thing of the past. Church is not going back to normal. America's not going back to normal. Things are not going back to normal. And you're trying to get normalcy, which is the outside of the cup stuff. God says, you know what? When you got peace inside, a whole whirlwind can be going around you. But none of these things move me, because this world is not my home. A vagabond is one who is away from home, but a pilgrim is one who is on his way home. And that's why we're called pilgrims and strangers in this world. We're on our way home. And if you're so wrapped up in your beauty and your house and your money and your car and what label you got on your purse, you know what? Honestly, God doesn't even have a problem with it. He doesn't have a problem with the bling. If Solomon's temple was $9 billion, he doesn't have a problem with bling. But that's not his focus. His focus is, what's on the inside? What is your true identity? If you lose it all like Job did, can you say with Job, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. All over this building, if you're a believer and if you're a guest that wants to join us, would you raise your hands right now and would you talk to the Lord about your identity in Him? Come on, would you do some inventory right now? Would you just do inventory of your life and say, God, I want to make sure that before I walk out of this building, God, it's not about what I wore to church today. It's not about what I'm going to drive home. It's not about the handbag that I've got, oh Lord, on my arm. It's not even about the Benjamins that I've got in my back pocket. But it is, oh God, about my identity in You. Come on, believers. If you're a believer, this is very important. This is more than just a little 5-second prayer. You need to make sure you know who you are. You need to make sure you know whose you are. Come on, believer. Message resonated with you. Why don't you step out of your pew? If this message resonated with you, why don't you step out of your pew and say, God, once again, I need to make sure I got this right. Come on, my identity is in Christ. Come on, young people, don't let your identity be in popularity. On the little logo you wear on your shirt. Before you sweet people go home, here's the kind of cup I think God wants us to be. Again, y'all, I have to pray for so much stuff because people go off and say, I said, so I'm going to preface this too. It's not that truth is not important. Truth is very important because it's the truth that sets you free. But on the opposite side of that coin, Jesus didn't say, they shall know you by your truth. He did not say it. He said, hereby shall you know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. I'm going to meddle with you and then I'll let you go. But listen, when you go to a restaurant and you tip 5% and you call yourself a Christian, you're not giving Christians a good name. When you go there and all you do is demand, and I don't like this, and this is cold, and Roxy waits at Cracker Barrel. You know what she's doing? She's hiding her head. You know why? Because Christians are good at being cranky when they don't get what they want. We may need to have part two of this message. Because when you walk into a restaurant, you ought to care about the name of Jesus more than you even do bad service. Do good. Have you heard of that scripture? Do good to those that don't wait on you real good. Well, that's Wayne's version, but I think it's in there somewhere. Right? Transparency. Let them see what's inside. The love that you have. The kindness. The encouragement. Yes. Lord, help us. Would you bow your head? Father, I stand here before you today, an imperfect man with faults and flaws and imperfections. But thank you for the grace of God. Because had it not been for your grace, I don't know where I would be today. And Lord, it's amazing to me how much we need your grace and how little we give to others. Help us to be full of mercy, love, justice, kindness, and long-suffering. Help us not to just look the part, but to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And hereby shall you know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Father, as we leave this place today, put us at the right place at the right time. Help us to meet the right people. And let them feel the love of God in our life. Thank you, Jesus. If laying your hand on your neighbor's shoulder freaks you out or you just don't want to touch people, I get it. No worries. I'm not here to make you feel awkward. But if it doesn't, I want you to place your hand on your neighbor's shoulder. And I want you to pray for them, whatever it is you want. Pray it right now and give it away in a prayer. If you can use anything, Lord,
You can use me. Come on, use me this week. Use me this week. Use me to show the love of God, the grace of God. Come on, if you're a believer, give something away in your prayer right now. Forget about yourself. Come on, forget about yourself. Stop walking into the room and demanding everybody give you something. Walk into the room and say, what can I give? How can I help somebody? How can I be a blessing today? What can I give away? Come on, believers. Come on, TPC. We got to get this right. We got to get this right.